Our responsive psalm reading, Psalm number 111, can be found on page 832 and 833 in the United Methodist Hymnal. Let us read responsibly. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who have pleasure in them. Full of honor and majesty are the works of the Lord, whose righteousness endures forever, who has caused his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. The Lord provides food for the faithful and is ever mindful of his covenant. The Lord has shown his people the power of his works by giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of the Lord's hands are faithful and just. The precepts of the Lord are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. The Lord sent redemption to his people and has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and wondrous is God's name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. The praise of the Lord endures forever. Our Hebrew Bible lesson this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, and then we jump over to chapter 3, verses 3 through 14. It begins on page 290 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I just realized that I had Daniel doing more work than I was today. Thank you, sir. I guess I got it figured out, huh? Well, let us turn to the epistle lesson, the letter of Paul to the church at Ephesus. If you follow along in page 183 of your pew Bible, there you will find Ephesians 5:15 through 20. This is Paul continuing in the long list of his suggestions for how to live better as followers of Jesus Christ. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Several of us, many of you, have studied the Bible in the rarefied air of seminaries. That translates into where people take themselves entirely too seriously. There's always that thought about that when you get to the end of the Bible and you read Revelation, God wins in the end, and that's great. But I think Roger Bennett had a much clearer understanding of how it works out. So thank you guys for sharing that with us. We will actually be talking about that a little bit more in the sermon. Right at the moment, though, let's turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. We've been reading through this message the past several weeks. Ellen Smith Doctor, I handed her a bulletin this morning. She said, well, I'm going to have to work on what the cover image means. And I said, no, it's not really that deep this week. So if you look at the front of your bulletin, you'll see that. Her response was, it makes me hungry. Anybody else? Yeah, okay. Well, you'll understand what that means if you turn to page 93 in your pew Bible. There you will find John 6, verses 51 through 58. And this is Jesus speaking. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give you for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, it doesn't happen 100% of the time. So for me, it's especially gratifying when the Bible readings of our lectionary support and illustrate one another. They don't always seem to be connected, but such is the case with this week's readings. I ask you this morning to focus with me on one very important idea that comes to us from Ephesians 5:15. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise. What does it mean for a Christian person to be wise? That is, to seek wisdom. I believe that Scripture is reminding us of something that we probably already understand, if only unconsciously. This wisdom belongs at the very heart of our faith. Let me explain what I mean by this. Be careful then how you live, as not as unwise people, but as wise. There's a body of work throughout the Bible known as wisdom literature, just as there is a current of work known as apocalyptic literature. Wisdom literature is the compilation of the teachings that people used to understand what it means to be wise, to follow the best and most meaningful approach to living. Apocalyptic literature is exactly like the song that that trio just sang. It talks to us about the end times and how we are to live in expectation of those times. So both wisdom literature and apocalyptic literature are sprinkled throughout the Bible's many books. And these works are not found only in the Bible, but they're also found in many documents, many understandings from the ancient world. There is one line in particular from Psalm 111 that we read that illustrates this point very well. It's verse 10a. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. What that means, in effect, is if you respect God, if you hold the Lord in awe, then you have begun to be wise. This line comes from the book of Proverbs, which you'll find right after the book of Psalms in the Bible. Well, much of wisdom literature in general, and Proverbs in particular, often refers to wisdom as a woman. A woman who's to be sought after as a role model for all of us. There was another of the Bible readings from the lectionary that we didn't read this Sunday, but it's a perfect illustration of this point. Let me read to you from Proverbs 9, verses 1 through 6. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town, "You that are simple, turn in here." To those without sense, she says, "Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine that I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight." So wisdom is personified as a woman who has many important lessons to teach us, such as lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. Well, my point is not entirely to discuss wisdom literature from an academic standpoint, but rather also to show you how the Bible illustrates and instructs us in this Christian wisdom. This wonderful illustration comes from the reading that Daniel did for us in the person of Solomon from the story from 1 Kings. Solomon takes over the throne from his father, King David, who has recently died. And in a dream one night, as Solomon is just beginning his monarchy, he's visited by God Almighty. But God is quite direct with Solomon. He says, "What can I do for you, Solomon?" Well, Solomon reminds God of who he is and who his father is, and then he gets down to his request. "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this, your great people?" Solomon asks for the wisdom to be able to judge between wrong and right. That pleases God greatly. So God does indeed give Solomon what he requested. "I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you." God is pleased with Solomon because he had asked for wisdom, the ability to discern what is right in the eyes of God. So in a profound and simple ideal, Solomon has asked for the ability to follow the will of God. Okay, so what exactly does that mean for us, for Christian people in the 21st century, to seek wisdom. Well, let's go back to Ephesians. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Well, that word order sounds kind of strange, unless you look back to the rest of Ephesians, because throughout this part of Ephesians, Paul first presents the reality of the people's poor behavior, and then he shows how they ought to act. Don't be unwise people, but rather be wise people. And Paul was reminding them and us that life is short and there is an urgency to finding wisdom. Now, let me offer you this. Is this a true statement for you? For most of us here, there are more days and weeks and months and years of life behind us than there are in front of us. Is that true for you? It's likely that there's more of life in the rearview mirror than there is up ahead. Sobering thought. So is this also a true statement for you? Yeah, maybe not for Colin. We'll give him that. Okay. But let me try another statement on you. The world has much beauty, but there also is an awful lot of evil around us. Is that true? Probably so. Well, that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, make the most of your life right now, because there's an awful lot of evil in our midst, all around us. It's time to follow God. And Paul goes on, he says, so do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be foolish like unwise people, but rather be wise people who understand what the will of God entails. Does that sound familiar? It should. That is exactly what God gave to Solomon as he was seeking wisdom. My sisters and brothers, to be wise is to follow God's will. Pay attention to that wise prayer that Jesus taught us and that we say every Sunday. Listen to your words. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You are asking for wisdom. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. To be wise is to do God's will. My sisters and brothers, let us be wise. Amen.